advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Well, I made it, and Dave looks sleepy already.
I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
I think you're lying to me.
I am.
I'm good right now, but I got a beer. I have whiskey. I know there's Faygo. There's all kinds of stuff in line for me.
Yeah, you're going to have an exciting night.
I have a feeling that the Friday podcast might be sloppy. I might get fuzzy. I'm going to get fuzzy right now.
Keep Friday?
Because we're recording right now, but I drink.
Oh, I see.
Friday to everyone else is 2 hours in for me, and that's where I get fuzzy. So
right.
We'll see how it goes.
I don't remember anything. I'm always fuzzy.
How's your weeks?
Good.
Good.
So far.
I've been on a diet all week. I'm down 6 pounds.
Nice.
Yeah. I gained it.
You gained it. I've been living on like protein shakes, eggs, steak, and salad.
That sounds not healthy.
No, I've been living on hotel food and Taco Bell.
What do you eat at a hotel? How do you pull that off?
Whatever they have.
Cereal.
Mostly Taco Bell. Because I leave the hotel. So I went to Palm Springs for a conference, and like in Bakersfield, we get hot. And I always hear people say, oh, once it's over 100 degrees, it doesn't matter anymore. And I'm just officially calling bullshit on that.
Yeah.
Because in Palm Springs, it was 117 and humid. And they said that with the humidity, the temperature was the equivalent of 121 degrees.
Ugh.
And I got back into Bakersfield where it was 108. And I was like, oh, thank God. It's only fucking 108. Like it was balls. It was awful. And the thing I also noticed, when it's over 120 degrees, the only people who are on the street are meth heads.
Yeah, because they don't feel temperature.
Like Palm Springs was a ghost town. You would see people like jogging from their car in the parking lot into the air conditioned building, and that was the only people you saw or meth
Everybody's
heads.
Everybody's running.
And everybody, there's just like some meth head standing on the corner not sweating. And I'm like, oh, you're going to die.
Cool thing is you just put hot pockets on your dash.
But they're not sweating because they're dehydrated. Already.
No, exactly. Yeah. Like they're just on the verge of dying. Yeah. But then after that, I did something way cooler. And two of our fans of the show on social media, they're Varla Vavoom and Octavia Sunflower, and they got married.
Sounds like Marvel X-Men.
I was the one who performed the ceremony.
That's awesome. Had you done that before?
I did it once before, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and I did, and I tried to fill it full of quotes, and I was like looking for
from
quotes
the show?
From like, no, not from the fucking
show. I will punch a baby and drink its
there
blood.
Will be, this love is symbolic of a laser pigeon.
To have to hold and shit on your couch.
Yeah, right in the middle of the living room.
Andrew and Alyssa will love each other as much as Tesla and his pigeon. But I was looking for good quotes, and I was like, I got to find a quote from Prince. He's got all these awesome love songs. And then I was like, I'm just going to do a search like top quotes from Prince. And the top quote, of course, on the list was, "Dearly beloved, we're gathered here today to get to this thing called life," which
is
the opening.
You snuck it in there.
That's how I opened.
Yeah.
And it didn't go over well.
No one got it.
Later, everyone said that was an awesome opening. But at the time, everybody was all nervous and like standing there. And I said it, and it was just like,
it's because you dramatically paused, waiting for Prince fans to
tough
stand
room.
Up.
You know,
well, what'd you expect? Someone's not going to laugh at that. What'd you want them to do?
Well, I threw in a Henny Youngman joke later, and everybody laughed.
Who's
who
that?
The fuck's that?
Fucking like old school insult comic from like the 40s and 50s.
You should have talked to us before you did this.
No, it was good.
It could have helped.
Yeah, but we did.
Everybody's like, who's that? They said the same thing.
But we did represent and give them multiple t-shirts and a full spread of El Yucateco hot sauce. And they're very excited about it because they're about to start a YouTube cooking channel.
Right.
And they're going to like cook different stuff. And they're
seems like
totally
everybody's got a t-shirt except me.
We're going to weave this in. You don't have one of our t-shirts.
No.
You had a t-shirt before anyone. You went like to the mall and made one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they got fucked up.
Oh well, there's t-shirts up there.
We've got some. Here.
There's a whole.
I'm gonna go stab the mall guy.
Buskets full up there.
I'm gonna stick them to the stick'em guy in the mall.
And I do want to give one shout out, and then I'll shut up. And that was to on Instagram, Stephen Cooper from Get a Grip Customs gave us a shout out and posted our logo.
Oh, you know what?
And told a bunch of people.
There's a present for Brad upstairs from Get a Grip.
My AR-15.
Oh, is there?
Yes.
Yeah, but he gave us a shout out and put us on blast and said everybody should listen to us.
Well, I would give it a review, but apparently I haven't seen it yet. So no.
If you guys start talking about German like Angels of Death, I'll go get it real quick and hand it to you.
Go.
All right, go.
I want to see it.
So we're supposed to talk about German Angels of Death.
Is that what we're talking about today?
I don't know. Yes.
I thought he was a doctor.
Well, they called him the Angel of Death. So our topic today is Dr. Joseph Mengele. And we've had debates for the last 20 minutes of how you're supposed to say his name.
It's Joseph.
Probably because he's German.
Mengele.
Yeah.
Mengele.
Mengele.
Mengele. That's my favorite game with the kids. I play it all the time.
And Brent said that Leonard Nimoy was saying Mengelis.
Mengelis?
Yeah.
Where'd the S come from?
I have no fucking idea. I know however it's supposed to be pronounced, I know we're not pronouncing it right because we're Americans.
Crazy bell. Brent made the mistake of buying us all bells.
Yeah, we've got three crazy bells, and I think it's going to be bad news in the long run. So he just brought the gift.
All right. What is this?
Oh, that's your t-shirt. Shirt?
Is it a quadruple X? Is this the one that Terry couldn't wear?
It's a
2X. Oh.
So open your shit. Open your present.
Hold on, I'm trying. I'm bringing it in Madden. It's a stippled AR-15 grip.
I was waiting for it to have an SK or something.
Yeah, why didn't you do an SK?
Motherfucker. Thank you. I take back my shout out.
He ordered that on Amazon and just sent it to here.
Sent it to myself. Yeah.
Drop ship that shit.
No. So go to Get a Grip Customs on Instagram and thank you for the free AR-15 grip. And I'll put it on my AR-15 and put a picture up.
That's dope. So Joseph Mengele. That's what we're talking about. The Angel of Death. So for those of you who don't know who he is, I know a lot of people know the name, but don't necessarily know exactly what he did. He was eventually.
No, I never heard of him.
He was appointed to be one of the medical directors at the Auschwitz concentration camp. And I kept reading a bunch of people say, just to clarify, he wasn't in charge of Auschwitz. It was another doctor that was in charge, but he was the one who did really awful.
Apparently he's
experience.
The guy that's like waiting on the side of the train when you get off. That's what I heard. He nods to the left or nods to the right.
What happened was the Nazis put doctors in charge of selection. So he would select, obviously healthy men were going to be able to work.
Right.
Pregnant women, old people, children, not so much. So they would go to the showers.
Anyone that they deemed unhealthy, women, children, pregnant, just he nodded to the right, and that meant showers, which meant death, and hard labor and starvation to the left.
But the thing is, there were 30 medical doctors because it was a 24-hour operation, and even the reports of Mengele were that even when he wasn't on duty or when he had a day off, he would still go and sit on the ramp and indicate if people were going left or right.
Yep.
And we'll go into reasons why later because he had a very specific purpose in mind. But he was the other doctors
hated
often
it.
Had to drink before they could even go
they
face
hated it. Yeah.
And that he, like, that was what he lived for, was to be the guy on the ramp determining who went what, which direction.
Well, it helps, understanding the mindset of the Nazi. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, absolutely.
If you
Is that These, it helps. Like, you can't conceive of it unless
you
can get your mind around
it. It's kind of like a hunter who goes and hunts for his food, right? Like, an animal is a living being. It has feelings.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it might not be able to communicate with you, but it has feelings.
Right.
To shoot a deer, it's kind of a sad sight. You know what I mean? Even if you like hunting, when you kill the thing you're hunting, it is what it is.
Right.
But you're going to eat it. it was kind of that mindset that these guys took on, that these people were beneath you.
Yeah, they're
and they
animals,
didn't matter.
They
yeah,
don't
they,
matter. Yeah.
Yeah, these yeah. things, these children are useless because they're not
right.
they're not pure, they're not what we want. So we're getting
and
rid
they're
of
not going to be able to work.
Yeah, they're not going to
so
be able
the
to work.
Women aren't going to be able to
yeah, they
work.
Yeah, they don't suit our needs.
Right.
So so operating on these people for basically advancement in their mind, advancement of medicine.
Right.
Was kind of just that's what they did,
right?
You know,
it really. This sounds crazy to make the statement, but it makes sense, honestly.
Like, no, it does. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It really takes a. You kind of got to understand there were no civil rights back
like what,
then.
What
you know
part
what I mean?
About
like,
it makes sense.
It's just the most effective, efficient process, really, like to make the machine move on efficiently, effectively, and to produce, you know, viable offspring that have the best likely, you know, genetic.
If that's your goal, it makes sense.
What's the it, though? Part makes sense?
That they're taking up a bed, that this mentally retarded person is not worth the resources, you know,
to keep him alive.
To keep him alive. Yes. Like, we need this resource.
Yeah, no, that's the ruthless efficiency of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Like, if, as a machine, it makes sense. If there's zero emotion involved,
right.
it totally does make sense. It's
right.
just crazy to think that many people could conform to the ideology. It's crazy
right.
that they fell in line
yeah.
to that. And then they did those experiments. I don't remember that where they had them shock the people or whatever
right.
in the other room and they
yeah.
just fall in line. They're just like, I'm just doing my job, just doing what I'm told.
Yeah.
Like, and they step aside. It's weird.
And speaking of machines, because I hate corporations, I need to throw this out there. International Business Machines actually made the really early computation devices that would track how many people were killed and how many people were sent every, you know, to the gas chambers, how many people were done with labor, et cetera, and that, of course, is IBM.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah. One of their earliest
what's
markets
funny
was
that,
making the, because the Germans had like very in-depth records of exactly
right.
what they were doing.
That's
and it
the
was
funny
because
part.
Of IBM and what they did to help them out.
I never understood that. The record keeping was
because
just.
They had no intent of losing. They had no idea that they would ever have to come
true.
To,
yeah.
Yeah.
to face
true.
Their,
yeah.
their
no,
the consequence. Of their actions, they
yeah.
thought
their
like,
actions,
this is moving.
Right, exactly.
We have a vision of an end of this,
true.
And we're going
to
conquer.
We need to keep track.
Yeah, Russia,
yeah.
and we're going to conquer Poland. We're going to spread and let you know Germanic society like, spread across this, and it's going to be blonde-haired, blue-eyed, perfect
yeah.
people.
But
everywhere.
Again, so IBM, because no one understood the machines, had people on site for every one of the machines.
Yeah,
and they were an American corporation just sending fucking people to Nazi Germany to run the death camp computers. So
during
it's
the
all
operation
about money.
Of the death camp,
yeah,
yeah.
It's all
oh, okay,
about money.
So I didn't get that.
Yes,
oh, wow.
yes. Like they had computer tests.
I was thinking it was
that,
after the fact they were
yeah.
going
no,
through records
nope.
and inputting data. And
that's
I was like,
crazy.
Oh, well, of course.
And it was, I mean, it wasn't really a computer by today's standards. It was like a really, it was like a calculator basically because they
yeah.
invented the computer to defeat the Nazis, not IBM, but
right.
Alan Turing. So it wasn't really a computer by today's standards, but they still needed to come up with something to
it was still
keep
a computing machine.
Because I had read that Mengele was supposedly responsible for the death of 400,000 people, and he was only at the camp for 2 years.
Yeah,
and that speaks to the scale of the operation. And I was like, "What do you mean he's responsible for the death?"
He was the one sending him
exactly.
off.
Exactly.
He like,
he nodded
you guys are
to
no
the
good.
Right
yeah.
400,000 times, and they had a guy
yeah.
with the IBM clicker keeping,
yeah.
keeping track. But it's like it's just fucking ruthless.
And that's a fact that IBM probably doesn't want out.
No,
there.
They definitely don't want that out. There.
We should make like an ad or something, like a
yeah.
fake IBM ad. Find out what that little machine looks like, and make like a well marketed,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That
period,
is a crazy
period
fact.
Correct, like
yeah.
font.
Yeah. That's something that, you know, if it was Hewlett Packard,
yeah,
know,
they'd
be like,
they just kind of sit on that.
It would have been
keep
yeah.
the let's keep the death camp machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hewlett Packard.
Hewlett Packard.
Oh, come
no.
on.
Too much?
No. So I found me. I found like I really didn't know anything about him as a person. So looking into his background was kind of interesting. He was very wealthy. He came from a really wealthy family in Bavaria.
I thought his background was boring. Like they still make the tractor equipment that his family makes today, or I don't
right.
know today, but in
yeah,
the 2000s,
still, yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
Well, I didn't like, I just assumed he was just, I assumed he was a fucking medical doctor, but he wasn't.
No,
he has a doctor. He had a doctorate in anthropology.
Yeah.
And then a PhD in philosophy.
Yeah. Genealogy, anthropology. I don't even know how you say it. Genealogy. And anthropology
right.
was his main.
But then he had a PhD, and they still
expertise.
Sent him into like wartime. I thought that was weird that they would like take someone.
No, he did that.
Well, he volunteered. He joined the Stahlhelm, the steel helmet group, at 20 in 1931. Mm-hmm. And then when he was going through college, he got his doctorate and did all that stuff. And then in 1934, he started studying under a guy named Dr. Otmar von Virchow.
That's what got him into twins.
Specialty was twins, right, and genetics, yeah, and heredity. And in this period, at the time, though,
the twin studies were huge.
They
didn't have genetics that like we have today. There was no DNA. And so around the world, that study was huge.
It's because you had a genetic identity comparison. Like you'd be like, oh, right, something's wrong with this twin. Right. What's it supposed to look like? And you had a direct, it's perfect.
Yeah. And the two of them had published articles in like international publications on genetic anomalies and on racial variations. And this was like his specialty.
Outside of Germany, it was like widely accepted. Mm-hmm. Like his research was legitimate. Yeah. Like it wasn't anything crazy at that point. Yep. Yeah.
And well, he wasn't, I don't believe he was actually crazy. I think he was capitalizing on the war, because when you get into doing these type of studies where you can just freely do what you want to do, how many doctors would want to just be able to operate on people? You know what I mean? To be able to go in.
He was either crazy or evil. Like he's got, there's only two choices.
You could be not crazy and just not have feelings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like not have
narcissism. When you just doesn't have emotion.
Yeah. Right? Just no emotion.
Narcissism, you only can care about yourself.
If you treat, there was a Japanese doctor during the war. I have to get his name. I think it was Shiro. During World War II, who also did these crazy experiments on women, just like Mangala. Right. But he did them on women and pregnant women. And he would give like the pregnant woman syphilis and then cut them open to see what it did to the baby and stuff. So it wasn't just the German people, you know what I mean? That did these things. It was an opportune moment for him during this time to be able to take these so-called inferior people and work on them not have to use an animal.
I think what it is like, we have this weird thing where we just adopt like the societal standard of judgment. So like when all of a sudden marijuana becomes legal in a state, grandmas and grandpas start trying shit. Mm-hmm. Like your grandma and grandpa would have whooped your ass. Like, or they would have been like, oh, I'm trying he's smoking the reefer.
Damn druggy.
And then all of a sudden that shit's legal in Colorado and there's a bunch of old people taking bong rips.
Right.
Because they're like, oh, everybody said it was okay. And there's that everybody said it's okay really changes. It's like, oh, the legal age for sex over here is like 16. Like, that's crazy to us, right? But they're like, no, man, she's ready. And they're going for it. It's because it's a societal standard.
No, there is definitely a societal standard. I mean, one of the reasons in the United States that the FCC got founded right after the war was because they looked at the power that the Nazis amassed by controlling all of the mass media. Mm-hmm. And the American government said, we need an institution that will never let that happen again. We need an institution that keeps the airwaves free to the people.
How'd that work?
But I mean, but still the idea, the point of it was everybody looked and said the propaganda machine was so effective that everyone got brainwashed because there was only one side of the story for years, for a decade.
Yeah.
You only had one side of the story. And eventually there was no fucking internet. There's no Wikipedia. You're only getting state media, your newspaper, your books, your films, your radio shows, your music, like all of it serves one agenda. You're gonna fall in line, you know?
Yeah.
And then even if you don't fall in line, you don't know the truth of what's happening because there's nowhere to turn to get the truth.
Yeah. You don't have to go along with it, but you're just not, you only have the one side.
Because I was really surprised. I went years ago, I went to DC and I went to the Holocaust Museum. And right when you're leaving the Holocaust Museum, there's footage that I've never seen before of a bunch of US soldiers. I forget which concentration camp. I don't think it was Auschwitz, but they took the Germans, the people from the city that the concentration camp was right outside of. And the US Army forced every person in the city to walk through the entire concentration camp
to see what
actually went on. And someone was filming all of them as they were leaving, and they were collapsing and weeping and vomiting because they had no idea what was occurring, you know, or maybe they were lying to themselves and they had an idea. I mean, you had to see this. I mean, they had to know it was a labor camp. They probably knew, but I don't think they knew the scale of how horrible
it was. It's pretty easy to have bacon for breakfast. It's a lot harder to stab the pig in the neck.
Right. You exactly. Know what I mean?
You can quote me on that, man. Okay. Brent Van Tassel, 2016, man. That just happened.
So, but
Mangala, why are you all country today?
Yeah, he did get all country. So, but Mangala joined the Nazi party in 37 and then promptly went into the SS. And then he was actually like a war hero. Like he went in.
As war hero as you can get being a Nazi.
Well, he was a war hero.
The awards is really cool. It's like the Black Medal of Death, Two Swords. Well,
he won the Iron Cross Second Class for bravery in 1941. And he won the Iron Cross First Class for bravery for pulling two unconscious Germans out of a burning tank on the Russian front. And he was just a legit soldier.
Yeah.
But then he got wounded in 43 on the Russian front.
And did he have a PhD at that point? That's what
he already did. Yeah.
Well, this was
crazy. I would think the Nazis would be like, no, we're using you for this.
Well, he was part of the medical corps. He was part of the reserve medical corps.
He was a medic for the SS. And the reason he went into the SS is because he saw that being the only opportunity to rise in power.
Right.
Because they were in charge of everything.
Right.
So if you weren't an SS, you couldn't do anything.
Right. Like if you weren't a party member.
Yeah. Even when he got married.
I just felt like they would assign him strategically better than like putting him in a situation where he's pulling people out of a burning tank when he has a PhD.
You got to prove your worth. If you're superior, you're going to make it.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. When you're like trying to conquer the fucking world, you need every able body.
True. Yeah.
Like everyone who has a hint of medical training is getting their ass to the front line to keep patching people up.
Yeah, Rosie the Riveters.
That's all there could have been. And again, another sort of misconception also of Nazi Germany is that there was a difference between a German and a Nazi. I mean, there was the regular German army that was just soldiers that weren't necessarily members of the Nazi party.
Yeah.
They were just German soldiers. And then the upgrade was to become a Nazi. And then the turbo upgrade was to be the SS.
Yeah.
Were like fully on board.
It's like Street Fighter
with,
Turbo.
That's right. They were on board with extermination. They were on board with ethnic cleansing. Like the SS was like in the heart of it.
Is Turbo Nazi a punk band? Because it should be.
It needs to be Turbo Nazi.
Fast black people. You can have fast Nazis.
Because the Nazi was the political party, the Nazi party. And if you were a party member, you probably believed most of the stuff and so forth. But you didn't have to be in the Nazi party. And a lot of people weren't. They just lived in Germany.
They fought for Germany.
And they fought for the motherland and whatever. But of course, Mengele was in the SS and he was a Nazi. So he was like right in the heart of it. And that's why they sent him to Auschwitz.
Yeah.
Because you really had to be on board to get sent to a concentration camp. Because you're going to be like, oh my fucking God, what are we doing here? Unless they thought you really buy the racial extermination.
He had heard about Auschwitz and wanted to go there because of he heard about all the sets of twins that they had.
Yes.
And so that's his move was to get put
he
in Auschwitz.
He basically just knew that he would be able to do experimentation on humans.
Yeah, he would be able to do what he wanted to
do. I don't think there were twins there. He implemented the thing, like, hey, look for twins, like keep your eye out. And they would like ship twins to him.
No, they already had twins there. And
really?
He was told about it.
No, I didn't
by
see that.
The doctor that he was doing his tutelage under.
Right.
I don't even want to try and say the guy's name.
Von Varschner.
Yeah. Told him that they had twins there.
Right.
And so his move was to go to Auschwitz so that he could do experiments on them.
Right.
And they
it's
were
normal for a guy to be like, oh,
and he had been
twins,
wounded. So they took him off. They basically said he was, because of his injuries, he was unfit for combat duty. And then Matt fed in, and then he got promoted to captain and all this stuff. Yeah. And that was where he got there. But yeah, once he got there, he had standing orders for all SS officers on the ramp when he wasn't there, that if they found twins, dwarfs, giants, or anyone else with a unique hereditary trait, like a cleft palate, a club foot, or heterochromia, which is where your eyes are different colors,
he had them immediately
pulled and sent to better conditions because he wanted to study their genetic anomalies.
So I have a cleft palate. He would have been pulling me aside. I got breakfast for a little while until he fucking chopped me up.
And I thought it was really weird about the heterochromia with eyes of different colors, but he was actually trying to get everyone to be Aryan and have blue eyes.
David Bowie.
So if he saw someone who had a blue eye and a brown eye, he was trying to figure out how to make everyone have blue eyes, you know. But so he had those standing orders, and that's why he was so obsessed with standing on the ramp, because he didn't want to miss someone that gave him an interesting genetic opportunity that he could explore. Because at the heart, he was trying to figure out genetics, and he was trying to figure out how to make the perfect Aryan race.
It was his Pokemon, basically.
That was his Pokemon.
Yeah. He was like, damn, I'm going to miss that one.
That's
the Charmander is about to come across.
The ramp was a evil Pokey stop.
For the record, Charmander is the only fucking thing I know. My son won't shut up. If I hear Charmander one more time, I'm choking someone.
That a Jumander.
But the thing that I read were that there were 3,000 twins that he pulled over the... And he was only there from... He started in May of 43.
3,000 sets of twins.
3,000 sets of twins. And only 200 individual twins survived out of the 3,000 sets of twins.
He killed 14 sets of twins one night injecting chloroform into their heart.
Yeah.
Himself, he did that.
Well, and like what
to see how long it took the blood to coagulate. Oh,
there was one report where he delivered a baby and then immediately threw the baby against the wall or something out of rage.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't what he wanted.
Yeah. Because the baby didn't come out as he wanted the baby to be, so he just threw it against the wall and killed it. And he created a position called the Zwillingsvater, which was the twins' father. And he pulled out inmates whose job was to care for the twins. And he didn't have, like, the twins wouldn't be shaved. They would be given better food. They would be treated all things like as good as anyone at the camp was treated is how they would be treated, until he suddenly decided, put them on the truck, send them to my lab. And then the fucking horror show started.
Yeah, there was reports of other Nazis being like in awe of the fact that he could walk out onto, like, there was a playground where the children were, like the kindergarten thing, and he would give them candy and tell them to call him Uncle Fritz.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uncle Fritz, I think. And then they said that he would, like, know endearing things about them, like things that they were into, things they liked, something personal about them. He gave them candy.
He'd play with them.
And then 30 minutes later, he might kill them.
They said he had pockets full of candy and he would just give out candy to the kids and play with them. Yeah. And he knew these children. I mean, fucking human children standing in front of him. And then all of a sudden, one of them would do something that interested him and he would say, pull those two, send them to my lab.
Pretty much grass-fed cows. I mean, yeah. I mean, same, but same thing.
I mean, holy shit, this guy. And then, you know, and I knew, like, he had, you know, the experiments, and I begrudgingly started to research some of the experiments that he did. And it's a fucking checklist of evil. It's just a horror show of things. Even before the experimentation would have, he would drain 10 cc's of blood from the twins every single day just to run blood tests and do whatever. And if they were super young, he wouldn't be able to get it unless he got it out of the arteries in their neck. So they would have to pin the twins down and drain blood from their neck.
Well, again, we call pin the twins.
Yeah. That was a daily thing that happened. But then, like, some of the things that happened is he would, once he finally pulled them for the lab, the accounts, and there were a lot of these accounts come from a guy named Dr. Miklos Niezli, who was a Hungarian prisoner who had a really good reputation. Yeah. So Mengele had him pulled to be his assistant and he would do the autopsies for him. So after he did all of his experiments, he would make this. And of course, the prisoner is going to fucking do it. Like, you're either going to kill me or I'm going to do autopsies on these horses.
Well, they cut up that kids all day, though? That's your choice?
There were doctors that were Jewish, you know what I mean, that worked in the camps.
Yeah, this guy was Jewish.
Yeah, and then there was also... there was one German doctor who actually got off, who wasn't a war criminal. I guess he got off and he was there at the camp with Mengele, and he pretty much did all these accounts, you know, saying like he would, you know, all the ramp stuff, you know, watching him on the ramp, said that he did like an orchestra hand, you know, when he had people, he's like, you're going that way to the death showers.
No, and everybody said he was just cold hearted and like jovial. And
probably,
like,
just became a god complex.
But he was a nice guy.
Right.
Like he was a nice guy
to everybody, like perfect uniform, perfect hair.
I saw an interview with a woman that worked side by side with him in the camps, and she said that he never got that the baby throwing, though, goes in the face of that. There's a couple things that she said that were different, but she worked with him and she said he never got angry, that it was
people. Like, he never got mad at people. Like, I'm sure he would get frustrated.
Chuck a baby, but he's
not. I heard that he would get very angry about his experiments when they didn't go
but
right.
She but also always... said that he was a cynic, that she said that she didn't feel that he personally believed, and I read differently on the internet, that he didn't personally believe that the Jews were inferior in any way. He just...
No, he went along with it.
He went along with it because he needed to do what he wanted to do, and so he's like, it was an opportunity.
Because he was just a fucking sociopath.
Yeah, sociopathic. That's the word I was looking for earlier. Sorry.
Yeah, and that's what I said about being an opportunity. opportunistic moment for the for doctors, not just him. There were other doctors. The one I mentioned earlier was Shiro Ishii and Unit 731. You can look that up. But the doctors that were kind of similar to him that did these horrible experiments, it was just an opportunity right. for them to do it on people right. because that, otherwise they wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, they would never be.
You either get somebody who died already. But you wouldn't be able to cut off a live person's limb
no.
and see how they reacted
right.
to it and you know, it'd be okay.
And that's
you know,
what
he knew he was committing crimes, yeah, and, but it was
and,
okay.
But it was okay because it yeah. was to further medical science and potentially to serve the Aryan cause,
yeah.
depending on how much you believed it based on what you read. And there was another woman, a woman named Eva Moses Kaur, who was a twin, and her sister, I believe, died under Mengele, and she survived. And she so there's a handful of people who were there who gave accounts immediately after the war. Like the one guy who did the autopsies wrote a book in 1946, which would have been the year after the war.
Right.
And he wrote an account of what he went through and what he saw. I forget what it was,
I heard
it was called. It was called Auschwitz, a doctor's eyewitness account. Ooh. And he was there. He was like Mengele's fucking, you know, autopsy guy. So a lot of these accounts are coming from firsthand,
yeah.
you know, people like immediately after the war. So it wasn't like, again, it wasn't necessarily accounts that happened 30 years later. And
yeah.
you think, well, how flavored was this? Like, he wrote it immediately.
Well, and they said that he didn't do a lot of the experiments himself. He had the other doctors do them.
He ordered them.
And he just watched and, you know, observed and wrote meticulous notes about everything that went on
yeah.
and the reactions.
Once again, the
stuff.
Orchestra thing, you know, he's just orchestrating.
Right. Yeah, he's orchestrating things. Everything. Like the one, for instance, is the big one that everybody talks about is the one where he took the two twins and conjoined them at the back.
Yeah.
They later died of gangrene.
And that was one that Eva Moses Kaur witnessed.
Yeah, and he didn't do the surgery.
Yeah.
Other doctors had to do that surgery under him while he watched and took notes.
Yeah. He wanted to make a conjoined twin. So he sewed them together.
He did amputations like that were yeah. unnecessary. Just, I mean,
yeah, let's look. I've got a nice little horror show list here. Mm. So when he would, and again, that same woman, she said that as soon as she, and I want to say it was her sister, were selected, they were both taken to the lab on a truck, and all the twins didn't really know what was happening, but they knew that when you got on a truck, you were,
he sometimes took them in his personal car.
Yeah, he
too.
Did. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But so
why is that worse?
She said as soon as they got there, they were stripped down and they were laid naked side by side on a table where he like took meticulous notes on every physical feature that they had because he was trying to figure out the difference.
Maybe I'm crossing the line, but twins. I'm just saying, you might, it's gonna, what a waste. You know what I mean? Like, you got twins, he got them naked. No,
is they're kids.
Too much? Oh, there were kids?
They're all kids.
Oh, okay. I definitely crossed the line.
Okay, yes, you did.
Some of those twins were probably grown-ups, right?
Yeah,
no?
Yeah.
No, they're all kids.
No, and all
and even,
kids.
Even the twin, even
no.
the...
Trying to make me feel bad.
Yeah, everything kids. I read said that they were all kids.
All right, I didn't read that, so yeah. I'm off the hook, yeah. right? I'm just following orders over
you're
here.
Off, yeah, that's yeah, crazy.
that was a mistake.
But
I'm sweating my ass off.
Everybody thinks I'm crazy.
Yeah, that's right. But no, and apparently word had gotten out, like even on the trains.
Oh, they
like,
knew.
Word was out yeah. that it was like, and they didn't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing, but they knew that twins got special treatment. So
yeah.
some parents would like have their, like they would have their, they would separate the twins so no one would know they were twins because they didn't want them to get selected to go to this special place with these people. Even though if they weren't selected, they were guaranteed to be killed
because all the children were being killed. I heard different because there was a set of twins who, or no, they weren't twins. It was a brother and his brother was 9 years, 9 months older than him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a, you know, had a baby, had another baby. So they were very close, but they weren't actually twins. A man whispered in their ear and said, "Hey, if you guys say you're twins, you're not going to die."
No, that was the thing. No one knew. They knew the twins were getting some different treatment.
Yeah.
Some people assumed it was the worst.
Yeah.
Some people assumed it was the best. So sometimes they would make sure everyone knew they were twins
yep.
or their parents
yep.
would, because the parents were going to die and be separated no matter what. And sometimes the parents would hide because they had
yeah.
no idea what it meant. Because
yeah.
I don't think they all necessarily, the people that were on the ramp didn't necessarily know they were all going to
yeah.
kill.
Oh, so, I remember late now, but the baby he threw against the wall, it was because they weren't twins. It was only one fat baby.
Oh, okay.
So
they didn't have ultrasounds?
No.
Like, yeah, no, they didn't yeah, have
that,
ultrasounds.
That's what that, sorry, it yeah. was late.
So was like then, so some of the experiments that he would do was he was trying to get their eyes to be blue. So he would take twins and he would inject various chemicals in their eyes that might make their eyes become blue.
See, this is what doesn't make any sense to me. Why do you have to inject twins to make their eyes blue?
Because he always has a control.
Yeah.
Because he would inject, I could inject the left eye for one and nothing on the other and see what happens. Or I could inject both eyes on one, or I could use this chemical on twin A and this chemical on twin B.
But why would it have to be twins? It could just be two people.
Because they're genetically
identical.
Because he thought that the genetic ident, like the closeness in genetics was a more accurate, like if I just got two random people, it could be anything that could be why this person reacted one way and the other person reacted
another
way.
Then again, when you can just dispose of bodies, why do you care? Just try it. It's blue. It worked. Do it on this guy. Oh, it's blue again. Hey, it's blue again. You're just chucking it aside. Some things that matters to have the control group for twins.
Right.
But he's right. Putting the thing in the
eye. And I'm sure the injecting in the eyes, I'm sure he did that with tons of people who weren't twins. Yeah. I mean, because again, he was doing experiments on all sorts of people.
I think twins, yeah, I think there was a specific thing set up for twins, like certain types of experiments that required a genetic control group.
Because like one thing that I read.
Lopping off their limbs and seeing how the other one reacted.
Yeah. Like one thing
can
I read.
You feel his arm?
Yeah. Was that he would, which was non-twin, is he would take, gypsies and Jews, and he would take them and give them like massive blood transfusions and replace all their blood with Aryan blood to see if it somehow changed them and made them better.
Yeah.
But all it would do is tend to kill them.
Yeah, they were rejected.
But they knew
any
about blood types.
Any doctor would know that wouldn't work, though. Like.
No, and he knew. I mean, the SS had what they called blood tattoos. If you became a member of the SS, they put a tattoo on your arm that said your blood type. So if you ended up in a field hospital, there was no risk of you getting the wrong blood. Yeah. So a medic knew you were in the SS, and that becomes an important fact later. Because he didn't end up with that tattoo for whatever reason.
Which makes me think he wasn't really an SS because he wiggled his way into a lot of things. And I think maybe he just got into the being an SS because he faked it.
He's a smart man. He skipped the tattoo line a couple of times.
You would know. You would know. Like, why would you?
Sword,
why would you?
Bandage.
Why would you think that you were going to get marked by that later? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I mean, ahead of time. Like,
right.
He's doing all this stuff, these crimes, and he's worried about a little blood type tattoo. You know,
that's a weird
kind
detail.
Because
he never got the tattoo.
Yeah, he never got the tattoo.
Yeah. But so some of the other experiments, he would take a twin and give them something like typhus or TB. And give them no medicine and see how long it took them to die of the disease. And then he would either keep the other one healthy or give them the disease later to see how long they would do it. Or he would, if a twin happened to get sick and catch some disease in the camps, he would make sure that in some cases, he would immediately infect the other twin so he could compare them and see which one died first. And just like just crazy sick shit.
I like how if there was any kind of outbreak, he just would kill 600 people and like wash it down. Like, well, that'll do it.
Yep.
Like, let's just kill 600 people. It's not going to spread now.
He would.
Well, they're killing them anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he would starve some of the twins to see how long they would last versus the other.
He got another award for killing so many people like that and eradicating the outbreaks. He got some other award.
I forget what it was. There was some outbreak that like rots your mouth or some fucking horrible thing. And like he took like all these crazy notes and like tracked it to make sure like he knew what was happening and he ended up getting awards for it. I read an instance where he gave sex change operations to twins just to see how they would behave as the opposite gender versus what their twin was.
And I'm sure they didn't make it.
No, fucking of course they
didn't. None of these experiments worked.
No.
Like they were just faulty from the beginning.
He would have brother.
I heard that in the movie Twins, there's actually a little swastikas hidden in certain scenes. Or at least it was loosely based off of this.
I don't think that's...
No, because Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's from Austria.
No.
Yeah, he's pretty much German.
No.
No? I might have made that up.
Yeah, yes.
And continue.
I think you did. I think
Danny
you did.
Danny DeVito's guilty as fuck about it. I don't know, something.
I was trying to think
he's
of
a dwarf
from Twins.
The other guy's German. Something's fucking going on there. The movie's called Twins. I'm telling you, there's something
Well, they
happening.
Did have a family of dwarves.
Yeah, so. Something's happening.
That's true. He would force brothers and sisters to have sex so that they would get pregnant and he could see if the children had particular genetic traits.
Yeah. He forced the sister. The brother was like, fine.
I don't
Again?
One thing that I read, from that woman, Eva Moses Core, she said that he made her take a shower in boiling hot water that was making her skin peel off and made her hair fall out, and then immediately took her out of the hot shower and put her in ice water.
That sucked.
And did the same to her twin, because he was testing the endurance of the different things, and he told all the children one by one, if you complain, I'm going to shoot you. And he would have his gun out, and the children who would complain because it was too hot, he would just shoot them.
If your hair falls out,
I take
some hot fucking showers. Like, I'll turn the cold off. Like, I'll do that.
Is that why your hair is falling out?
That is what's up. The Jewish cat. But if your fucking hair falls out, like, there's no not complaining, especially at a kid level. You're not.
When
fucking,
you just watched him shoot another kid in the brain,
I would just be like, you know, like, what? Shoot me before you put scalding water on me.
Physiologically, I don't think you can not scream.
Apparently, she didn't. Of course, she would have been shot.
Wow.
Yeah. So fucking crazy. And then he injected chlorophyll and a drug called pheno directly into the heart to see how long they could survive with coagulating blood, and he did that to 14 people in one night. That was an average Tuesday for Yosef.
Off for bratwurst.
None of them survived, spoiler.
No. And then the last experiment that I saw was,
I feel guilty every time we laugh.
He would do tons of operations on people with no anesthetic, because part of it was he was measuring their endurance. And there was one account of an older twin who said that his younger twin was taken and had some sort of an operation on his spine with no anesthetic, and it left him paralyzed, but he was allowed to recuperate from that surgery. And then he was given another surgery where he removed his sexual organs with no anesthesia. And then he came back from that, and then they took him to do another surgery, and he never returned from whatever the next surgery was. And the other twin was completely unmolested and was rescued when the Russians broke up Auschwitz and everything. Yeah. But he had to watch these things happening to his twin brother after his mom's been killed, his dad's been killed.
His entire family. Fuck. Yeah. And then there was another twin who his brother was kind of done the same thing. And after the last time, the brother died in his arms, and they told him to throw him on the body wagon. Yeah. And he's like, I couldn't do it.
He whispered in his ear, though. He's like, you always got better presents. Yeah. He's like, you got the baseball mitt, man. You had this coming. Fire truck. Yeah. you blame me for that. When the cat shit on the couch.
Your 8th day presents were always better than mine.
Oh, you're God, the guilt. Laughing. I'm laughing and the guilt hits at the same time.
Well, you're the only one making jokes.
You're talking about fucking twin kids. Jesus Christ.
Like, you're the one who feels guilty and you're the one making jokes. So whenever,
I had a couple beers.
Brent Mangla. You got naked twins laying on the table. Yeah, they're 8.
You do.
Are you sure?
16 if you add them up. You do go somewhere. Oh man.
You do.
Jesus Christ.
I'm fucking kidding.
You do have that Aryan beard.
I just can't miss a joke, though. That's the problem. Yeah. I can't skip a joke.
Are they jokes? Are they serious? Because there's a difference in jokes and being serious.
I think we're seeing the power of his Aryan Viking beard right now.
Be quiet.
I think it's all. I think it's all coming out.
Be quiet.
Take a drink of your white water, Brent. Calm down.
Switching to water right about now.
I thought it was the next episode you were going to be fucked up in.
I still got a whiskey and a beer for that episode.
Yeah, that's right. And then I didn't know how he got away. Unless you guys had any other horrible Auschwitz things to talk about.
No, I mean, he was just pretty fucked up pretty much the whole time. But no, he got away. He
amazingly
like
in the
he
nick
was,
of time, every fucking
well, he,
time.
Well, he predicted that the war was ending badly for the Germans. So he basically started getting rid of his paperwork.
Right.
He sent them off to, back to the research center where his, What fuck it? What if I don't know?
Marv von Dusch. Yeah.
Where he was.
Von Dusch.
And then he kept like legit paperwork, and he had some other Jewish doctor look at the paperwork and try and get her to be on board to where she could be like, no, he had legit
right.
like experiments. You know, they were just normal experiments, nothing crazy. And she had testified to that, you know, saying that like that's why he must have showed her that stuff so she could testify about his normal experiments. Because he said it was a shame that that the Russians were going to win and all the Bolsheviks were going to get, you know, do nothing with the, you know, experimentation.
Right. Because the Russians historically were the ones who were coming in from that direction, and they were the ones who liberated most of the concentration camps. The Americans definitely did liberate some, but the Russians were coming in from the other side, and they liberated Auschwitz. But
we were busy liberating our own Japanese concentration camps. Right, at the same time, we were
letting our own people back out. Yeah, but he and the other officers from Auschwitz got transferred to another concentration camp right before the Russians took Auschwitz. Yep. And then he got arrested in the other concentration camp.
Yep.
And he even told them, my name is Joseph Mengele. And they had him. He was on the top wanted war crimes list.
Yeah.
But somehow they completely overlooked it.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have the blood tattoo.
He didn't have the tattoo. So basically it would make all the soldiers take their shirts off and lift their arms. And if they didn't have the tattoo, they were let go because they were normal frontline soldiers.
That would have red flagged
them. They weren't. Yeah. The tattoo would have red flagged him. And he would have been caught, but because he didn't have the tattoo, they just let him skate through.
Cause again, they're processing tens of thousands of people. I mean, they've just got lines of people that that are war prisoners right now. And they have to figure out who are we arresting and who's just a free German citizen who was in this war. And since he didn't have the blood tattoo, they let him skate. And then later on, they were like, wait a minute, you had fucking who here and you let him go?
Yeah.
And so he was like one of the top.
Yeah. And
criminals.
So he was helped by Nazi sympathizers to move to Argentina.
And his family, because his family was incredibly wealthy.
Yeah. One of the high ups in the family's company actually was the main one who helped him escape through the years.
Right.
Not just one time, but many times over the years, all the way to where he came back to Germany and then had to flee again because they were still after him.
He came back to Germany, went on a fucking ski trip.
Yeah.
See that shit?
Well, he stayed in Germany and in Bavaria until 1949.
Yeah.
So the war ended in 45 and he was still there until 49. And in that era is when the Mossad, the Israeli intelligence service, started to hunt down escaped war criminals. And there was a whole thing that we could definitely do a whole show about called Operation Odessa, which was the way that the Nazis were getting their top people out of the country. And they were sort of smuggling them away as the war was ending in this whole Operation Odessa, which he didn't fall under because he was already captured and all that stuff.
That's how Tupac Island was founded.
That is how Tupac Island was founded. But the Mossad were coming for him and he probably caught wind of it. And then that's when he left and he used his monies to go to Argentina.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of them went. When you track a lot of where the Germans go, they go to Central America.
Well, like the dictator at the time in Argentina was a Nazi sympathizer.
Right.
So they had a lot of people who they basically let those guys in.
Yeah.
What's crazy is that he went back in 1958 to divorce his wife. And he went back, he signed the divorce papers using his real name, you know, and wasn't caught. One of the issues is that they said that the reason that he wasn't really being tracked early on is because when they were doing all the war crime stuff and like prosecuting all these doctors they all thought he was dead.
Right.
Nobody had heard from him. They all thought he had died.
I thought he fled and his wife just took off. But at some point he might marry his sister-in-law.
No, there was a weird thing. There was a weird thing with his wife where the Americans went and, you know, basically talked to his wife and said, you know, where is he at? Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
She says he's dead, you know, and she would go and go to the church every day, pray for his soul, you know, all this stuff. They were watching her all while they were watching her so well. When he was back in Germany, he was staying at a farm in, what is it? Paraguay? How do you say that name? Paraguay. Using the name Wolfgang Gerhard. Working at a farm, he was visiting his wife the whole time.
And that was the name that he died under. But the thing is though, he was fucking balls out because I read an account of Adolf Eichmann, who was one of the head architects of the you know, Jewish solution and the concentration camps and all that stuff. He was the number one person after the war that was still on the wanted list. And
it was Adolf Eichmann, Klaus Barbie.
Yep, Klaus Barbie. And then
Eric Priebke, I don't even know how to say their names, and Joseph Mengele.
And they were like the top, they were the top guys. Top
wanted guys, yeah.
So the Mossad in 1960 got to Buenos Aires and they tracked down where Adolf Eichmann was. And they had
it because they were having a Hitler birthday party or something? They were like celebrating Hitler's birthday.
Oh, were they? I didn't catch that part.
I saw something where they were celebrating Hitler's birthday and there was like an unusual gathering of people at this place in like a Nazi sympathetic area. And that's how they caught him, because they were celebrating Hitler's would-be birthday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because the thing is, the team that was, there was an 11-person team and they were moving in on Eichmann and they were like, oh shit, you know who else lives here? Fucking Joseph Mengele.
Right.
And you know what name he's going by?
Yeah.
Fucking Joseph Mengele. Like, he's just living here.
It was Jose Mengele or something like that.
Yeah, it's funny, like, when it's paper, you know, back in the day, it's not internet. It's not going to red flag something and send a message. Yeah. Like, he requested his birth certificate for whatever reason from Germany and they mailed it to him at that address. Yeah. And then he started going by his name again. And then he fucking married his wife's sister or something.
No, it was his brother's widow. His brother died. He married his widow. Yeah.
Okay. So in 1960, well, what's 11-man funny, though, team, they capture Eichmann and they have him in jail. And the person in charge of the team that captured him called back to their CO and said, we've got Joseph Mengele here right now as well. And they said, our priority is Eichmann because he's the number one person. He was the one who started the fucking, the, you know, whole ultimate solution in the Holocaust. Yeah. Like, you have to get him back. And then you and your team can immediately fly back to Buenos Aires.
Right.
And when they got back there, his apartment was empty and Mengele fled. And
he was always like a week off. Yeah. Yeah.
At that point he started using a false name, but if they would have just diverted half of their team, they would have captured him in 1960.
Well, when he went back to Germany originally, they sent him a letter saying, like, hey, they're looking for you, watch out. The German government did.
I'm sure there, I mean, there had to have still been people. That was in 1960.
Yeah.
When they captured Eichmann.
To Germany after that somehow,
And I know that, and there was a lot of weird shit, because even his son, I think his name was Rolf, flew to Brazil where he was living in 1977 and met with him and even had pictures of him in 1977 with like old man version of his dad. And it was him and Joseph Mengele just fucking hanging out in Brazil. But apparently, which is weird because all the accounts of Rolf were that he hated his father and he thought he was a scumbag and he was evil.
He originally met him, hung out with him, and told him he was his uncle. He said he was his uncle.
Oh, is that
uncle
what it was?
Fritz. He's every kid's uncle.
Yeah,
he's
every kid's uncle.
He was about to do experiments.
So maybe he thought he was visiting his uncle, because he ultimately, after they discovered that he was dead and they tried to return the remains of Joseph Mengele to his son refused them and said, I don't want his remains because he doesn't deserve a proper burial because he was a fucking animal.
Yeah, it said in like 56, somewhere he met in Switzerland for a ski holiday with his son and sister-in-law, Martha, and they spent the weekend there, but he just told his son that he was that it was his uncle.
Okay, because I didn't, I hadn't read that part. I just know that he went to...
And then he married her, though.
He went and visited.
So he must, that must have been when they went like, hey, now it's your dad.
Well, when he went back to Germany, to Germany, that's when he got married to her.
Uncle Dad.
And then they had to flee. Then they had to flee again.
Uncle Dad Fritz von Angel of Death.
Things are getting, things are getting creepy.
But again, it's like, I mean, it speaks to, I mean, it's to me, as I read all the shit he did and how easy it was for him to constantly escape and just live out in the open, I think about the world of 1960 versus the world of right now.
Yeah.
And that would be fucking impossible.
Yeah,
like, you would be caught on a traffic cam and some intelligence bot would fucking flag you and be like, oh shit, it's Joseph.
You were using your own name.
Like, exactly. It's like such a difference in surveillance and in information and in tracking of people. Yeah. And it's like,
unless you're Osama bin Laden.
Unless you're Osama bin Laden, then you can't be found anywhere.
Well, it's because there is no Facebook for him. He was in a cave.
I guarantee there's a Facebook. I'm looking it up.
Well, somebody has a Facebook.
Somebody has a fucking Facebook of him.
It's the generic picture. It's going to be a watch.
But then, so then he ends up bouncing all over South America, country to country, living on his family's money. And then, so apparently he died in 79. Mm-hmm. And he was swimming on the beach and had a stroke while he was swimming. So then he drowned because he had a stroke.
No. Which is not fitting.
He already had a stroke before that. That makes sense. There is an Osama
bin Laden page. Yeah, that was his second stroke.
But it's called Osama bin Laden is dead, and there's only 117 members. That's odd.
That is odd.
And the last comment on the page, it says, I have a big dick. Yeah, that's right. The last comment. What the fuck is going on? And it's suggesting some of my friends. There's, I'm not going to name names.
It's because Mike Money liked the page.
Maybe, like maybe.
They're so you said Mangalay had more than one stroke?
Yeah, that was his second stroke. Yeah, so he had a stroke before.
You would go so far as to say he had different strokes?
Yes, I would. So Gary Coleman actually.
Gary Coleman, there it is. It always comes
Gary Coleman.
I was waiting for it to come full circle, and now it did. Yeah.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
We need Gary Coleman a little SS outfit. Yep.
Gary Coleman was a Nazi.
That's right, he was.
Yep.
He hated himself. He was a dwarf. He was a dwarf. A black dwarf.
He was like
black.
He was like
a guy with a genetic condition. Yeah.
Yeah, he was like Dave Chappelle, the blind fucking KKK.
Oh man.
So he ends up dying of a stroke and getting buried, and he's buried under the name Wolfgang Gerhardt, who was another SS guy, which again, it wasn't very fucking smart. He and another Nazi who had escaped together, the other Nazi died and was wanted by the Mossad. So Mangalay's like, you know what? I'm going to go by his name.
Well, it's the fucking other guy
wanted by the Mossad. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? You didn't just come up with, how about just John Jones?
He was under pressure. He made a quick decision.
Jesus Christ.
They're like, sign here. Like,
did it matter?
No,
they
still didn't catch him. Yeah, it didn't
like
matter.
That's the thing. Like, why not use a name that they know you're after and you still can't catch me? Like,
right.
That's even better.
Right. And then from what I read, the Mossad, again, still not giving, because they were constantly being told the war criminals were dead.
Yeah.
And they were constantly saying, fuck no, they're not. We're going to find them. And they still do that to this day. They're still looking for people and they still find them.
There's still people alive.
They said that people like all the way up to 85 reported him alive. It says he was in Cairo and Spain, Paraguay, that people kept reporting seeing him.
Right.
So they kept looking for
him. Right. And then they ended up basically finding out, oh, it was this other guy. And we think that was actually Mangalay, and then they had his body exhumed, and then they had to like basically create a bunch of forensic techniques to identify dead bodies just to confirm whether or not this guy was Mangalay. And they ultimately said that one of the like the war wounds that he got on the Russian front, and the fact that apparently he had some massive sinus infection when he was a kid that almost killed him.
Weird.
And there were holes in his skull where the sinus infection was so bad that it like rotted Jesus through Christ. His sinus, and that was one of the other things that they used to identify that it was him.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Is a hell of a drug.
That was 1985. They said they with a high degree of probability, they decided that it is him. But then in 92,
high degree of probability,
they did DNA testing.
Yeah,
right.
And then it was him.
Because at the time they didn't have that technology, but ultimately they did. And then again, the Brazilian government, who had his body, tried a Brazilian times to give it back to Germany.
Oh.
Thank you.
A Brazilian times.
But they didn't want it. Like they guess,
no, that's not the, that that's wasn't not crazy. The crazy.
Hey, it's whatever I want it to be.
That's so what's your bell then?
It's a funny bell.
It's a funny bell? It didn't ring very much this episode.
No, it didn't.
I just realized
you ring
I
the
it.
Funny bell at the lame Brazilian time? Yeah,
that's my kind of joke.
That was. It's actually his joke.
That was.
Actually,
yeah.
But no, like I said, his son basically said, I don't want his body back, and nobody does, and we don't want to bury it and fuck off. Like, throw it, like, who cares?
Put it in a museum.
And no, what they ended up doing is I read this whole article about the fact that the Brazilian government ended up taking his entire skeleton and they just put it in a medical school. And people who are studying anatomy just happened to study the bones of Joseph Mangalay.
It's kind
of
cool.
And they were just like, fuck it. Like, we might as well put some good use to his skeleton and let a doctor.
I wonder if one of the, like, if there's like a twin, like, anthropologist person out at the school, like, just happens to run across the bones and just uses like a femur to masturbate with just because
Fuck.
If I'm just
quiet for the rest of the podcast, Brad was weirder than me.
That was a doozy. Like the fact that you started it by saying, "I wonder if," like,
well,
that
was your brain. Okay, I'm probably like probably it did happen.
Like your brain immediately went to.
You were so confident. I was just gonna say that it was actually in the Pirates of the Caribbean or some shit. It was one of the pirates.
Went straight to using Mangalese bones as a dildo.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. You assumed a dildo. You don't know what was going on. Well, I thought he was just gonna like stroke it or something to pretend like.
Why would it be a he? What's
wrong
with you?
It was like Adam Sandler. See, I should have been quiet for this. Oh, yeah, you should have. If I just kept my mouth shut,
my twin that used the femur was a woman. Yeah. Brent's talking about twins using his bones.
I pictured like the beginning of Happy Gilmore, where Adam Sandler just uses everything to be his dick. It's like the broomstick, the fucking mop, the whatever. Some guy's got the femur of Mangala, so just an anatomy class.
All men masturbating. Yeah, that's what Brent wanted.
That's what I saw.
So then I was trying my best. I was also trying to find out if any, like, what medical advances might have come from him. No. You know, at the end of the day,
they said that none of the experiments were even good because he was experimenting on twins that weren't twins. At the end of the day, people were faking that they were twins to get better treatment. Yeah. So he didn't even know that they weren't twins. So his studies were just bullshit.
And most of the advances that I read that came from other medical experimentation in the concentration camps, again, because a lot of the, even though the Germans kept detailed records, the SS that were in charge at the end of the day knew we're going to get arrested, we're going to get killed, we need to destroy the evidence. Yeah. A lot of the doctors were destroying their evidence and so forth, but they said that the only evidence that survived, and we've talked about this on other episodes, the only medical information that came from the concentration camps and survived the purges during the end of the war were the things that were used towards rocketry, the effects of G-forces on the human body, the effects of gas changes based on altitude.
Yeah.
Like, because we took all the rocket chambers. Scientists, they took
he did those experiments too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they had even if they didn't conduct those experiments, they had those experiments conducted. They had those medical results and they took them with them. But again, I couldn't find any evidence that Mengele did any of those things.
All of his experimentation was destroyed by the people he sent it to. They knew they were looking for it. They didn't want anything.
And I forget her name. I'm sorry, I forget. It was a specific German woman that he gave all of his stuff to, and I can't remember what her name was. She was the one who was ordering, like, the reason they started burning Jews alive was because at the end of the war they didn't have enough of the Xylon B gas, so she was like, fuck it, just burn them alive. Oof. Like, there's no we don't have the money to keep gassing them. Like, I mean, she was this is the woman who got the information from Mengele. So it was, you know, it was a very narrow-minded group, I suppose. But
it's kind of crazy. Like, these certain people get the bad rap for doing the experimentation and like doing all the weird shit, which they are doctors. Which later on they found out that he wasn't even a doctor. Like, they pulled his medical stuff.
He was actually Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, Catch Me If You Can. Yeah.
Well, again,
he was so good at getting away.
A lot of the stuff that I read kept emphasizing. Keep in mind, yes, this guy was a fucking monster and he was evil and he did all this shit, but he wasn't even the top medical person at Auschwitz.
No. So
every experiment he wanted to do, the guy above him had to rubber stamp and sanction. He was like, oh, you want to sew two twins together? I'll sign off on that. Like, like there was some other whack job above him who was perhaps even telling him,
you should
sew two guys together. Like, but I mean,
that was Brent.
I bet you won't sew two guys together.
How about you fuck them sets of twins?
Like,
they're kids. I don't care.
I can't conceive of doing it. I can't conceive of the fucking horrors this man did.
We did get some cool Kool-Aid out of it, though. The chemical precursor that they used is actually where they came up with the Blue Houdini Kool-Aid, because it's a green powder, but when you add the water and stir it up, it turns blue. Yeah, that's where we came from. They were trying to get blue eyes, but they got Blue Houdini Kool-Aid. It's not real notable. It's a minor Dave's fact that I found, but
I'm just.
I
don't even know what the fuck Blue Houdini Kool-Aid is.
You're black.
I have no idea. If I'm black, I only drink purple. What are you fucking talking about?
Red
Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and red. I would, if I, you know, the blackness in me, the blackness in me would drink fruit punch or purple drink.
That's the only kind you guys had?
Yeah.
It's the only kind they make.
Actually, my mom, she liked the lime.
She liked the lime.
No, I was going to say,
she was a Nazi.
Keep going. We got three now. Now you're up to three. It was only purple.
I didn't like the
lime. What'd your brother like?
I don't know.
Blue Houdini. That's right.
I promise you, when I was a kid, there was no Kool-Aid that was blue.
No?
No.
How old are you?
Old enough to not have blue Kool-Aid, bitch. Detroit was just lacking for a better...
Yeah, that's all it was.
I posted a thing on Facebook. It was the, if you could go back in time and punch a baby, who would it be? I feel like I didn't see that either. So I feel like this is kind of like one of those things. Like if you had the opportunity to do something that you know you would never get caught for, you know what I mean? Like you could do anything you wanted. I think there are some people that would go to the extremes of experimenting on twins. Like they would, because that in their mind, it betters what they want to do. You know what I mean? So like you wouldn't walk up to somebody and punch their baby, but if you knew their baby was going to be an asshole when they got older and do something to you, you would definitely go back and punch the baby. Like, and it's not something you would normally do, but if you had the opportunity to do it without getting in trouble, like people will do crazy things.
I'm just so curious about his motivations. I mean, and again, I couldn't come to a consensus on the research. I mean, some people tended to argue that he was a hardcore Aryan and that all of his experimentations were about trying to make the Aryan race be pure.
No.
Some people thought that it was a sham and that he was just like a mad scientist who wanted to do whatever. Some people think he was a sociopath. I don't know where
the guy that he was under, who was doing all the twin research, really wanted the Aryan race to be, you know, the dominant race.
Otto
and
von
he
Dusch.
Was doing, yeah, he was doing the experiment. For that. As far as I understand, Joseph Mengele, he wanted to be famous on his own account, not using his parents' money, not, you know what I mean? Not,
right.
He didn't want the family business. He wanted to make his own fame. And this kind of was the track that he took.
Fucking mission accomplished.
He wanted his name to be known.
Mission fucking accomplished.
Yeah, it is, but do you really want your name to be remembered as fucking the angel of death?
I mean, I just have
to
wonder,
people would.
Was the, was he a fucking serial killer? Like, did he have like fucking crazy, like psychopathic serial killer traits?
And I think
he was fucking jackpot.
If Ted Bundy had the opportunity to do that,
how far would he have pushed
it? You think so?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Jeffrey Dahmer was in the same position. He's like, I'm the SS doctor that gets to decide.
Yeah.
I want to do experiments on these people and eat their flesh. Like, you think he wouldn't do it? He would do
it. He would fucking do it.
And he would be normal in every other sense, probably.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and that's how like Ted Bundy was. He was a normal guy, very charismatic.
Right.
Who you wouldn't suspect to be a serial killer.
Right.
And he's out killing people.
Yep.
Throwing them in his Volkswagen. Ironically, a German vehicle.
Yes, indeed.
But
got that fucking Farfignugan wrong. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what's up with Joseph Mengele. Evil fucking bastard for sure. Whatever the motivation.
And he's not the only one.
No.
There's a ton of them.
No. But he was like one of the most wanted at the end of the war. Because the Nuremberg war trials captured a ton of them, but then a lot of SS people at the concentration camp still.
They had like a mock trial for him, even though they knew he was probably, because they thought, at least he was dead. Yeah. Maybe we can get people
at least accuse him.
Look for him. Yeah. At least have his accusations out there on public.
Right.
I'm trying to find the blue Kool-Aid timeline, and then they want some Google ad for me to get further. I was trying to figure out what year it came out. I did find the listings for Kool-Aid, but not years.
real waste
of my efforts over here.
I could have told you that before you started.
Yeah. He already said there was no fucking blue Kool-Aid.
There is blue Kool-Aid, but I just can't find when it came
out. Now there's all kinds of Kool-Aid.
Yeah, now there's all kinds of shit. Yeah.
Well, it's because it was top secret. It was a German secret. It's a conspiracy. It's been covered up for years.
Just like IBM and Faygo.
Mm-hmm.
The IBM fact was pretty. The Fanta was a Nazi soda. IBM was pretty interesting. Yeah,
we talked about that. Fanta was a Nazi soda.
It was the Nazi Coke.
Yeah,
because they couldn't.
I always
Coke
thought it was
anymore.
A Mexican thing, and now I'm like, that's crazy.
Well, I think it became a Mexican thing, honestly, because it
went
migrated
to Argentina.
I honestly think that was the case.
Maybe
because they. I mean, all the people who escaped probably kept drinking it, so it migrated up through there. But no, it was Coke, and they couldn't sell. We talked about it earlier, but they couldn't sell. Coke because of, what's the word? when they wouldn't let any American products be sold in America, and they had they already had the factories in Germany making Coke, and they just rebranded it. They just put all the earnings during the war into a bank account, and then at the end of the war, Coke just cashed a giant evil German check.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Welcome to America.
That's right, bitches. So as much as we think Joseph Mengele was an evil sociopath, the corporations were still fucking making money on it. Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. Crazy.
All right. That's all
anyway,
I got on Mengele.
What do we got?
Shout-outs?
People to shout out.
Someone did post some really creepy shit while we were talking, but I didn't want to interrupt the show, as I do.
I want to give a shout-out to Rex. We haven't shouted out him in a while. He's still around.
He's doing a podcast, too.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, it's the, what is it called?
I have no idea.
Damn.
There you go, Rex.
It's a cool podcast. It's all about positivity. You know, it's like a guest. I just can't fucking remember the name of it right now.
No, I wanted to say,
we'll give him another one. We'll give you a proper one.
DW6245 posted that. Scared shit out of me. I don't like snakes. Cool. Yeah. It's a pile
Jones does not like that
picture.
It's
a pile of real, I don't know how many snakes are in this picture, but multiple, and it's our sticker in the middle of a pile of real snakes, and it's creepy. I don't like it. You guys find a Rex?
It's pretty awesome.
Change your perspective.
Change your heart.
Change your heart.
Change your heart podcast.
Change your heart.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go, Rex.
Sponsors.
Sponsors. Thank you, El Yucateco Hot Sauce. Thank you, Digital Creations. Thank you to Salt 7 Float Center. Thank you to Dark Side Graphics. He's going to make some new shirts. I got new shirts coming on the way, apparently. And thank you to PrintDirtCheap.com. And thank you to Dan motherfucking Camarillo. Yes. That's his legal name. I talked to him. That way. I'm required to say it that way.
That was the Mullet Master.
The Mullet Master?
Yeah, I thought that was his middle name.
Mullet Giggles? Giggle Mullets?
Giggle Mullets. Giggly Mullets.
Yeah. I do have to face that man at some point in time. I should calm it down. I'm going back to Dan motherfucking Camarillo.
That's your problem. You talk shit to him every time you get between his legs.
I have Tourette's. I do talk shit between his legs, and then he fucks me up.
You're going to motorboat him like a paparazzi.
Oh, I'm paparazzi motorboating him.
I'll get triangle just for the opportunity.
If you hear that, Dan, I'm paparazzi motorboating you next time I see you. He's going to walk up to you, tackle you, just potato sack you, and just paparazzi motorboat you right in front of your wife. Is that it?
Is it?
So. Alright. Don't be retarded.
Yo. Hey, das ist genauso wie damals, Mann. Immer noch derselbe Shit. Hab echt gedacht, ich werd vernünftig, wenn ich erstmal älter bin. Ich sag mal so, ich sag mal ja, ist wie ist. Wär mein Leben hier im Ponyhof, dann wär ich nicht ich. Wir machen immer noch Musik. Asozial wie Dosen schießen. Schreibt Niveau so hochgeschraubt, als wären wir die Prototypen. Das ist EKS, immer noch Partner for life. Ständig steif wie ein Brett, wir feiern jeden Tag rein. Und es bleibt wie ist. Life is a bitch. Und immer wenn die Kleine mich fickt, dann greif zum Stift. Ich bin bescheiden, geh mal lochen, aber leiste mir nix. Ich brauch nicht viel zum glücklich sein, ich bin einfach gestrickt. Ich mach Musik, leb mein Leben wie eine Reise ins Ich. Das ist Grown Man Rap Shit, ich weiß, was ich will. Wir sind hier und weichen keinen Schritt zurück. Das bisschen Fame, das für uns übrig bleibt, teilen wir zu dritt.
Guck, wir sind immer noch am Start und gebeten und gefragt. Unterschlagen, unterschätzt und die Letzten unserer Art. Noch immer unter sich, noch immer tief unterm Radar. Nicht für jeden Scheiß zu haben, doch die Liebe ist noch da. Das gleiche Team seit Jahren, Wuppertaler Veteran. 60 Jahre Rap-Erfahrung, kommt zusammen in den Bars. Illusionen sind verflogen, aber niemals der Elan. Sie fließen auf die Parts, denn die Liebe ist noch da.
Es ist genauso wie damals, Mann. Ich wurde arm geboren und so sterbe ich auch als armer Mann in Alemann. Ja, und alle Mann, die damals mitgehangen haben, sind heute nur von Doppelhelden und sie labern lang. Komm halt den Atem an, ich spuck alle Nase lang. Passagen, Mann, Artverwandt mit Petrus und Patekram. Und sitz tagelang mit Tatenrang an Phrasen dran. Nacktes Blatt, wahres Mann, abstrakt, Fried und Wachterklang. Kuchen auf diese Ballern, beten für diese Lala. Als wäre Afrika Barbada, unser Himmelsvater. Ruhe in Frieden, Galla, ich freh mir ein Voll. Wie der Peanut Butter, den Rap ist CMO, nicht mehr Gatter, nein, nicht mehr Knaller. Alle Kätze kacker, kichern und gackern und spitzen manchmal nur bis zum Walla. Ich empfinde Nada für diesen Hip-Hop-Standard. Alles wiederholt sich ständig wie in Intervallern. Und es bleibt wie es ist, mein Bleistift gespitzt. Doch wenn du meinst, dass der Scheiß hier nichts bringt, du hast Crack gekocht, doch dein Rap ist Schrott. Doch wenn du denkst, du rockst, dann hörst Ex und Hop.
Wir sind immer noch am Start und gebeten und gefragt. Unterschlagen, unterschätzt und die Letzten unserer Art. Noch immer unter sich, noch immer tief unterm Radar. Nicht für jeden Scheiß zu haben, doch die Liebe ist noch da. Das gleiche Team seit Jahren, Wuppertaler Veteran. 60 Jahre Rap-Erfahrung, kommt zusammen in den Bars. Illusionen sind verflogen, aber niemals der Elan. Sie fließen noch die Parts, denn die Liebe ist noch da.
Tja,
was soll ich sagen, wurde vom Leben geschliffen. Und doch hab ich so mit den Jahren anscheinend nur wenig begriffen. Dennoch, ich schäme mich kein bisschen, ich hab ständig ein Sitzen. Plus bei mir ist halt irgendwie andersrum, ich dance beim Schwitzen. Ich geb einen Fick, denn ich will Spaß und scheiß auf deine Meinung. Ich bin arrogant, denn Papa war im Fernsehen und der Zeitung. Wer mich kennt, weiß, dass ich nicht so tick. Doch jeder Mensch braucht seine Maske, fucking shit, so shit. Hab Höhen und Tiefen gesehen, aber nie verlernt zu lachen. Viel gewonnen, viel verloren, viel verstanden, viel verkraftet. Humor ist, wenn du trotzdem atmest, egal was State of the Art ist. Wenn das Leben auch hart ist, geht aufgeben, doch gar nicht verfallen, nicht in Panik und bleib auf dem Weg. Und lass die anderen labern, solange du weißt, wo du stehst.
Yo, guck, wir sind immer noch am Start. Ungebeten, ungefragt, unterschlagen, unterschätzt. Und die Letzten unserer Art, noch immer unter sich, noch immer tief unterm Radar. Nicht für jeden Scheiß zu haben, doch die Liebe ist noch da. Das gleiche Team seit Jahren, Wuppertaler Veteran. 60 Jahre Rap-Erfahrung, kommt zusammen in den Bars. Illusionen sind verflogen, aber niemals hin.